morning. I'm Patty Tucker. I'm the Acting Associate Director for Health Equity in the CDC Division of Community Health. And the Division of Community Health sits in the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. And I will be speaking about the practitioner guide that Leslie mentioned, more detail in giving you some taking an at-a-glance at what you'll find inside the guide. One of the only learning objective for my presentation is for you to walk away to be able to describe and even access this online resource. And as Leslie mentioned, it's one that provides community-based policy system and environmental improvement strategies that are designed to address or reduce disparities and advance health equity. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the blood, sweat, and tears that went into the development of this online resource and dedication. Leslie's laughing. There were a countless number of hours that went into the development of this tool or this resource. There was a core project team, which was led by staff at CDC. We had contributing writers and researchers that were part of the Division of Community Health. And then we had advisors and reviewers that came from the various centers in the CDC. And you'll see, based on the topics and the areas that are included in the Health Equity Guide, why it encompassed so many reviewers. We also had a review and a clearance process that went across the Department of Health and Human Services. We had contractors and subcontractors, as well as partners who contributed to the content, even to the design and the development of the Health Equity Guide. The title was A Practitioner's Guide for Advancing Health Equity, Community Approaches to Preventing Chronic Disease. With such a long title, we shortened it to the Health Equity Guide. So I'll refer to it as the Health Equity Guide throughout. Within the Division of Community Health, we have three underlying core principles. And one is to maximize health impact. And by doing that, we try to reach the greatest number of people and have that great impact. The other core principle is to advance health equity through the technical and reduce disparities through the technical assistance and the tools and resources that we make available to the communities that we fund, as well as accessible to anyone with access to the internet or web. And then we take what we've learned through the communities we've funded, we take what we've learned from the literature to help advance the evidence base for the work around community health. Just to give you a little history around the types of initiatives that have been funded through the Division of Community Health, Leslie mentioned communities putting prevention to work. Racial and ethnic approaches to community health or REACH is one of our longstanding initiatives. We've funded communities for over the last 15 years to address disparities on chronic disease, infectious disease, et cetera, in racial and ethnic groups who are at the greatest burden for those issues. Then we've had some other communities where, for example, with Pioneering Healthy Communities, where we funded one organization, such as the health department, and they were responsible for funding an additional 128 local bodies to do this work around policy system and environmental improvements. And now to date, well, most recently we funded the Partnerships to Improve Community Health and REACH 2014. And some of the others listed here you may be familiar with, such as community transformation grants, as well as the national networks for both REACH and CTG. So, out of all of what we've learned through REACH, communities putting prevention to work, and some of the other initiatives funded by CDC, as well as unfunded communities, there was a need to develop a resource. It's not to say that there are no resources to help advance health equity, but there are few that serve as a one go-to place where you can find strategies to help you implement policy system and environmental improvement. The practitioner guide is organized in four sections. The first section is what we, section one is it's around how to incorporate health equity into the foundational skills of public health. It deals with building organizational capacity, engaging community members, developing partnerships and coalitions, identifying and analyzing health inequities, selecting, designing, and implementing strategies, developing effective communication efforts, and conducting evaluations. Within Section 1 of the Health Equity Guide, there's information to help you think about how you might incorporate health equity in those various areas of the guide that I mentioned earlier. This is just an example of what you would find in the evaluation efforts. So there's a section that talks about how to give you ideas on how to integrate health equity into your evaluation efforts, and it runs from developing your logic model, incorporating health equity in your evaluation questions and designs, identifying appropriate variables to track the population and experience inequities, how to think about using culturally appropriate tools and methodologies, and then using multiple approaches to understand the intervention's effect on disparities or inequities. Within Section 1, you'll also find what we call questions for reflection. It gives you questions to pause to think about as you, in this instance, develop an evaluation plan with health equity in mind, what you might consider in that evaluation plan. It talks about asking as an organization, where are you now in evaluating your efforts? If you're thinking in terms of considerations of the types of questions to include, what questions might you include, and then how to integrate health equity into the principles and the whole data gathering process. This is by no means, none of what you find within the Health Equity Guide is considered exhaustive, but it's something to get you to think about incorporating health equity in those foundational principles. What you have here is just a sample of the types of questions. There are a list of others. Also in Section 1 and throughout the entire Health Equity Guide, there are actual community examples. Some of the community examples come from CPPW, some from REACH, some from communities that we did not fund. This community example is from the Boston Public Health Commission. Just want to give you an insight into what this community example entails. It describes how Boston Public Health Commission worked to ensure their efforts were effective in reaching the population experiencing obesity and tobacco-related health inequities. Boston Public Health Commission then implemented the following steps to develop their evaluation plan. They developed an evaluation questions to gauge their impact on health inequities. They required their partners to routinely collect data on race, ethnicity, age, gender, zip codes, and all of their initiatives. They increased their sample size from the behavioral risk factor surveillance system in order to ensure that there was sufficient power to assess the neighborhood level change over time. In their design, they designed an analysis plan to assess the overall effect of the selected strategy as well as the effects across population groups. And then they set up their performance monitor to identify areas where additional efforts may be needed to enhance the intervention effects in the underserved community. And this particular strategy and in their strategic evaluation design, it enabled the Boston Public Health Commission to make some mid-course changes and enhance their ability to contribute to the evidence base regarding the influence of their initiative on advancing health equity. So in Section 2 of the Health Equity Guide, it's focused on tobacco-free living strategies. The Section 2 strategies in the guide are the four that are listed here, which deals with comprehensive smoke-free policies, smoke-free multi-unit housing policies, tobacco cessation services, and point-of-sale strategies to address access and exposure to tobacco products. Within Section 2 through 4 of the Health Equity Guide, it's organized a little differently. It has issues around why a particular strategy is a health equity issue, and it gives you some idea of what to address. It also includes key factors in the design and implementation as it relates. In this example, it's around smoke-free multi-unit housing, and it talks about some of the issues being the risk of vulnerable populations to secondhand smoke in multi-unit housing. Some of the key factors are around the misperceptions by residents, the owners of the multi-unit housing properties, and the need for stakeholder support, as well as community involvement, awareness, and access in equitable implementation of such strategies. And included in the Health Equity Guide are a list of partners that we think some are traditional and some are non-traditional to help focus on that particular strategy. In this example, it's the multi-unit housing strategy. And then there are two community examples. And in this example, it's from San Antonio, Texas, and it speaks to creating a smoke-free multi-unit housing policy. And it was some work that was done by the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, working with the San Antonio Housing Authority to implement a smoke-free multi-unit housing in all of their 70 housing sites. And their efforts were possible through support of the state as well as the local health department and funds. So the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District focused on making multi-unit housing smoke-free with a strategy that covered all indoor areas, since a comprehensive policy would have a greater impact on health equity in all San Antonio housing. The authority residents as well as staff were engaged in the process, and both organizations work closely with their staff as well as the residents. And the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, through their partnership with the American Cancer Society, was able to bolster the outreach and the education effects. And as a result, the policy is benefiting nearly 16,000 residents, many of them who are low-income immigrants, and they now have access to cleaner air in their homes. Section 3 of the Health Equity Guide is focused on food and beverage strategies. There are 5 strategies in the Health Equity Guide. One's focused around community food retail environments, healthy restaurants and catering trucks, healthy food in school and after school and early care and education environments, food access through land use planning and policy, and then breastfeeding practices and policies. The guide includes in Section 3 for each of the strategies in the previous slide, why it is a health equity issue. This is an example of what you find as some of the reasons why it's a health equity issue for community food retail environments, as well as some of the key factors in the design and implementation of such a strategy. Again, it includes a list of the types of partners that could be a part of having an impact on the community and in addressing community food retail environments. There are 2 health equity in action examples, one in Philadelphia and the other in Southwest Georgia. This is just an example of the work that was done in Philadelphia through the Food Trust, which is a national organization that worked in the city of Philadelphia with about 17 corner store initiatives, and the whole idea was to increase healthy food access to children to corner stores that were near schools in the area. And out of that work and working with the corner stores near schools, they grew into a larger initiative, and there are several hundred of corner stores that have taken on this initiative, partly because of the work that was done by Food Trust and building incentives and helping the owners of these corner stores, which are typically mom and pop stores, to understand the value of having such an initiative available in the community. And then the final section of the guide is focused on active living strategies. And there are 6 active living strategies around one on joint use agreements, safe and accessible streets for all users, trails and pathways to enhance recreation and active transportation, physical activity in schools and after schools and early care and education settings, neighborhood development that connects community resources to transit, and then preventing violence. And here's an example of what you find as it relates to joint use agreements and why this is a health equity issue and some of the key factors in the design and implementation that need to be taken into consideration in implementing such a strategy. Again, there are suggestions for who you might include in a team to address joint use agreements, as well as two community examples. The community example that I have displayed here is one that occurred in Santa Ana, California, and it was a community where there's predominantly low-income Latino residents, and the city had only 1 acre per 1,000 residents of park space. Latino Health Access, a community-based organization, worked with the residents and garnered and gained the support from California Endowment to pursue a community access agreement at the neighborhood elementary school. As a result, this joint use agreement allowed community residents to use the grounds outside of the school hours. And in addition, the community access agreement between the elementary school and the school district allowed everyone in the community to gain free access to the recreational space. The success of the project motivated the city as well as the school district to jointly apply for state funding, which resulted in the construction of a 10,000 square foot community center at the local elementary school. So one of the in the health equity guide, there are several resources, and one of them is Appendix A, which it's focused on the disparities in the various vulnerable population groups. There are about 8 groups listed. That list is not exhaustive, but it gives you some of the facts around the chronic disease disparities that exist among those groups. In the appendices B, it has a list, a table that provides information on if you're using a health equity strategy, things to consider in the selection, design, as well as the implementation of such strategy. And then Appendix C includes resources, including Thrive. It's listed as one of the resources. There's an active link on it. It takes you to the various websites. It includes resources to one item. I don't know if you are familiar with the Community Commons website, but we also have a link in the guide to the Community Commons website, and there is a link within the Community Commons on a targeted intervention area tool that will allow you to do the mapping for any community in this country. And you can actually go in, put in a zip code or a city name, and it will pull up, and you can check off to look at disparities by education, by income, and to find out more, please go to the health equity guide. Appendix C is also focused on resources for identifying and understanding inequities, and then D is what we call our health equity checklist, which includes information, questions you can ask as you implement, design, and select and to implement an intervention addressing disparities. We do have hard copies, limited number of hard copies of the Health Equity Guide. We can get them online from CDC Info. When you go to the website, if you put in this publication ID number 221636, or you can put in the search box on the guide on the CDC Info site, practitioner's guide, it'll come up and you can order at least one copy. But it's also available online and it can be easily downloaded. So that concludes my presentation, and I think we want to open up for questions.
At this point, yes, we just want to open up for questions or comments. Yes, in the back.
Thank you.
two answers. One is we were focused today on chronic disease prevention, so I do know there's an interface between mental health issues and chronic disease, which I don't think has been as fully developed as we might use. In terms of the framework for the elements of community health, we look at those upstream factors as being tools for preventing mental health problems, and we actually have a body of work at Prevention Institute on mental health trying to take a primary prevention approach, you know, as well as acknowledging the need for services. So that's why I guess I didn't explicitly mention it, because we use the community elements of health framework as a way for prevention of a whole host of illnesses and injury. But you can look at the mental health work on our website, and you will see more specific strategies there.
And in the health equity guide, people with disabilities is listed as one of the vulnerable population groups, physical as well as mental and emotional. So, yes.
Yes, please. Yes, please, uh-huh. You. Yes.
So most of the strategies that are in the Health Equity Guide are policy, system, and environmental improvements. And so the whole idea is that you have a larger reach and a greater impact. Now, one of the things I didn't mention here, and I don't know if this gets at your question, but within the Division of Community Health, in addition to introducing our awardees to the Health Equity Guide and understanding how to implement with a health equity in mind, we talk about what we call a dual or a twin approach, that to implement a policy and for the general population and expect it to have the same effect on everyone equally is not what we want them to do. So instead of implementing a policy to the general population, we also ask them to at the same time implement a targeted, culturally tailored policy. So you're doing both of those at the same time to hopefully have that equal impact. In terms of, and now with the awardees that we've just funded, the PITCH and the REACH awardees, that's some of what we're going to begin to look at to monitor change in the vulnerable population groups to that of the general population. I'm not aware of any directly or in the future, but that's not to say we, in addition to the PITCH, we also funded what we call national organizations. So I'm not sure if there is a national office for the offices of minority health across the country. Like, for example, there is a national directors for health promotion and education. And it's that organization that could, in fact, apply for the funding for our national networks.
Oh, great. We've got a lot of hands back there first.
Yes. Yes, we are looking at Omniture reports, excuse me, which goes to the website, and we can see details as far as whether it's an education or, I mean, university or organization. We can also see the type, the countries that, as well as states that are downloading the health equity guide. So we are tracking that information. That part, we don't know how they're using it. So one of the things that I typically ask when we talk about the health equity guide is if you use the guide and you want to send information back to us as how you're using the guide, to send it to, we have an email in our division, dchnews@cdc.gov. So it's less about a disease and more about risk behavior and risk factors that individuals or groups may be exposed to. In terms of the determinants, the strategies are in places, you know, applied to places where people live, learn, work, and play. Thank you. There are some questions for reflection in section one around the building organizational capacity that may get at some of the issues around cultural competency. Questions that an organization might ask themselves. So I don't know if you picked up a copy, but I do have what we call our promotional piece for the Health Equity Guide. Please feel free to take one or two or more. I don't want to take them back. But are there any other questions?
Okay, well then we will both stick around for a little while. For those of you who came in late, the presenters for this panel were Dr. Patty Tucker from CDC and myself, Leslie Mickelson from Prevention Institute. And we really appreciate your attendance in this session, and we're very happy to answer individual questions.
Yes, and thank you for coming.